SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, well into it, but doesn't matter. It helps for KC when he loads up the archives. And loading up on a regular basis is Rod Paolucci. And whether it's horses running, whether it's new acquisitions, buying horses at OBS this week, or whether it's betting, Ron involved gleefully in every aspect of the game, and was absolutely delighted that he came to me and asked the question about tax purposes, because it opens the door to a great discussion. And a hearty congratulations to Ron Paolucci, who joins us now. Hits for $550,000 yesterday, takes down the Churchill Single Six jackpot. Well done, Ron.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How
I just texted Marty, and Marty McGee texted me congratulations, and I said, anybody that knows me, I need 15 more of those to get even for the past 35 years.
I brought up Dan Borislav's famous takedown of the Rainbow Six, and I asked him after that. I said, does this get you even? He said, close.
before I get started, I want to say, because I'll forget, you get me rambling on, especially about reporting and that kind of stuff. I don't know who I'll go to, but I just want to say congratulations to Anthony Corderola, who was the trainer of the week at Churchill this week. Had a couple nice wins and a couple close calls, and it just shows you, guys like him and Gary Siaka and Chuck Simon, you give them some horses, they're gonna do good, And the guy never had more than a $1,500 horse competing at on the New York circuit, and he had a real good Gulfstream meet and a real solid Churchill meet. So I just want to say congratulations to him.
Wow, and he's also as nice and as great a gentleman as there is around the racetrack. Gotten very friendly with him, and of course he worked with Barry Abrams, and his move from the harness side to the flats, and so nice that that you've hooked up with Anthony and have given him this chance, frankly, and you're famous for that, whether it's the riders from from your hometown circuits in Ohio, and the trainers, any number of the Radosoviches, and you've been so good that way, Ronnie. It's just one other aspect.
There's a lot of good horsemen in the business, Steve, that don't get, that are sitting on the sidelines watching, the bigger names, who, don't get me wrong, they deserve it. They win races. But these guys are very capable, and, if you put them in the right situation and let them run the horses where they can run, and be competitive, that you're going to find out that more often than not that they're going to be, they're going to be very competitive. And, instead of me being 149, 150, and 151 with Todd or Chad or Bob or whoever else, I'm 1, 2, 3 with Anthony, and that goes a long way. I just want to tip my hat to guys like him and, Tony Arini and Radosovich and Peter Walter and these guys that, because I'm very interchangeable. I mean, You can win two stakes in a row, and next thing you know, I'm like, hey, that one's going to Rainey. That one's going to Walter. So, but, anyway.
Well, you also,
congratulations to him.
Well, and you famously, we go back to Re-Antonio, and you famously were early on understanding that Maya Engelhart was going to be a major player.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, Jeremiah and I, we've had our differences over the past couple of years, but, I told him in our infancy of working together, I said, Jeremiah, your niche is with the young horses. You're very good. And he got so mad at me because he's like, oh, that mean I can't train an older horse? No, but you're just exceptionally good with younger horses. And let me tell you something. If you look at him the past couple of years, I wasn't too far off. The guy does a very, very good job with young horses and getting them ready and getting to the races. And, you know, he can definitely train an older one, too. Now, I think he's like the rest of us, you know. We learn. He, you know, I've learned, he's learned, and he's a very, very good trainer. He's hard for me. I shouldn't say he's hard for me. I'm hard for him to work with because I do move him around a lot. And, you know, certain guys can handle that, certain guys can't. And, you know, he's got a lot of good owners and stuff like that. But he's exceptional. I wouldn't be afraid if I had a million-dollar horse to give it to Jeremiah and be able to compete with Chad or anyone. He's very good with him. Very good.
Well, you're very good building these tickets. And, yes, it's big budget, but it also is providing big returns. I want to talk about that pick five from last week, too. But let's talk about jackpot bets. And I have had rainbow conversations with you in the past as part of, you know, what has been a, you know, kind of an ongoing appreciation, or at least the you know, shining a spotlight on how bettors that like the jackpot bets and have a conscious approach to them, how they have succeeded in when they succeed. What's your overarching approach to the rainbow, and in this case Churchill's single six? What are your objectives, and what kind of budget? Explain your approach.
Okay, first let's talk a little bit about the rainbow six itself, because, you know, obviously I listen to you every day, and I know your stance on sometimes it's like, you know, you're not real sure if it's good for the game or not. My one positive that I can bring to the table for the rainbow six places is the exposure to the rest of the races. Anybody that gambles on horse racing that's just going to look at the pick six is going to find two or three of those races of the six to bet in and above the pick six. So if you're looking at something and you go, man, I really like the four in the fourth race, betting that four, even though you're using it, you're just betting the pick six, you're going to bet that four horse in the fourth race. So I guarantee if you did a study on the tracks that have the rainbow six, their handle goes up on the other races as the jackpot progresses. So to me, that's a positive. Anytime there's more money being bet on any kind of card in any day, it's a positive. And I know from a personal standpoint, when I'm looking at a pick six, I'm more apt to bet those races intertwined in that pick six. So to me, it's an absolute positive. It's a no-brainer. And, you know, and also, listen, I want the little guy to win. You know, I was a little guy in my whole life. So the one thing I can say to other people, all the roots of the rich get richer. First of all, I'm going to tell you, I'm probably 25% of that seed money at Churchill, okay? The way I generally go about a pick six is I don't always play big tickets every single day. If I look at a card and there's two or three favorites that I can't beat, in my opinion, I make a very small ticket. Or I make multiple tickets and try to take out as much as I can, because there's so much dead money in those tickets because you can't play multiples.
Right.
So if a guy has a small budget, and most people do, okay, and that are gambling, the pick six, in my opinion, is the best investment in racing, because it's the only wager where people like myself aren't trying to hit it 60 or 70 or 80 times in a pick four. I mean, there's multiple times in these smaller tracks where if I'm in your pools, you're either happy or you're like, wow, how did that pay so well? In a pick six, a little guy has such an advantage because guys like me are spreading for the most part and helping them get a better payoff when there's not a single ticket. So I generally look at the sequence and go, can I beat four of the favorites? If I can beat four of them, I'm making a big ticket. If I can beat five, it's bigger. If I can beat six, it's huge. So I'm not always right. Like yesterday, I thought the Gulfstream card could have been taken down. I put five times as much in Gulfstream and had three out of six as I did at Churchill, and I couldn't have been more wrong. So it's a lot of luck. There's just a lot of luck, Steve. You know, this game's a lot of luck.
Well, no doubt. It is interesting what you say about looking at a sequence and trying to note if there's a certain potential scenario where the upsets, typically how many do you How many races do you think need to have, you know, a
four,
an upset?
Four.
Four? Okay.
Four. Yeah. If I'm beating four favorites, I know no matter, unless it's a day where, let's say, Gulfstream or Churchill's got a, you know, $1.5 million carryover or something like that, then there's a lot more money. My whole thing is I love to play when it gets to 100,000. When it gets to 100,000, that's when I start looking. Because to me, I'm a guy that looks to beat favorites. So 90% of my tickets are constructed to beat the favorite. I'm not looking to play 1, 2, to 5 and then go all the other five legs. I'm looking like my ticket to Churchill. I didn't like any of the favorites in the series. So I took two races where I used three horses, and I basically used all the other contenders in the other legs that I thought could even have a remote chance. It turns out there was no major horse in there, but I beat all six favorites, I believe. Maybe the maiden race might have been the favorite. If he wasn't, he was the second favorite. But, you know, that's how you got to look at those. You know, once they get to a certain level, it's very hard to get the only ticket. Very, very hard. But that $100,000 to $300,000 plateau, you know, when there's only $40,000 in the pick six and you got a chance to win $240,000, those are the kind you want to play. The Laurels, you know, I've hit multiple ones at Laurel and the smaller tracks because on the off days, there's not much in those pools. Those are the kind of ones you got to go after, you know. So you got to be smart. You got to play the right pools.
When you're looking, and one of the things that Marty and I talked about, fourth choice, second choice, fourth choice, second choice, fourth choice, and fourth choice were the winners. So no favorites. And when you go to build the tickets, Ron, and you've got a couple of places where you went three deep and four deep, and then you had the other races where you spread, you know, very wide. When the ticket building comes in, I mean, what is the budget structure? And you played two tickets about $1,700 each. What, you know, what is the difference between those tickets?
Well, the difference is in the two tickets I played yesterday was I love the Gary and Mary West horse in the first leg. Okay, visually, the horse looks tremendous. Last time, thought he got in a lot of trouble. Looking at the rest of the five races besides that race, I didn't see one favorite that I said, man, I don't think I, as a matter of fact, all favorites with the exception of the maiden race, the baby race, where I think it was Asmussen and Oxley or Oxley and somebody, that was the only race where I said those two are the most likely winners that were going to be the favorites. And I wasn't sure which one was going to be the favorite, but I just said, listen, they're probably going to win. The other four legs, I did not like the favorite in any leg. Especially the last race where you had two maiden breakers from two good trainers where, you know, if they're any kind, they're moving up. They're not looking to move horses down off of a nice maiden race, especially Dale. Dale hates to lose one and have somebody make it look good and win. So if it can run, Dale's moving it up. So to me, that was an automatic pitch, his horse. You know, he was kind of like saying, please take this one from me. So I keyed the Gary and Mary West horse in the first leg, and I spread in all the legs after that because if he won, I didn't want to miss it. Then on my Sable ticket, which we all know him so many times is the one that hits because it's hard to pick a winner in horse racing, I took the three other horses I liked in the first leg with the same horses in the second, third, fourth, and fifth leg, and then the three horses I liked on the end. Mostly, you know, actually I screwed that ticket up, and I was kicking myself. I wanted to put 2, 3, 4 on the end, and I ended up with 3, 4, 9, and I was like, oh, man, if the two's a single ticket, I'm just, you know, I'm really going to be aggravated. But nobody was more surprised than me when they put the payoffs up and the four was a single ticket. I said, there's no way. And I had to look at my ticket, and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, I won the third, I won the fourth, that's got to be me. I was surprised. I was very surprised with the sequence.
How different was this ticket, the average size? Do you spend more, less? Lay out the budget appropriation and what kind of, you know, the times that it gets paid off without, you know, a full distribution like this.
Right.
obviously, and this goes back to the conversations I've had with, particularly with Chet, with the late Chet Hancock.
And yeah, Chet, what a nice guy.
He's the greatest. And you yeah, guys would hang out in the, one of the boxes.
Right.
Nice guy. Chet was
you
the
know,
one
Steve,
who...
Honestly, I'm going to surprise you with my answer.
Yeah.
Most people think I'm loaded to the gills with money. Generally, everything I have in my pocket is being bet or bought, spent on a horse. Okay, so I'm going to tell you that my tickets consist of how I'm doing that day. I mean, you know, yesterday, I'll be very frank, I was all in an Express Bet, didn't have a quarter in my Express Bet account, lost every dollar, okay? So I had a few vouchers left over from my $52,000 excursion on Belmont Day, and I played the early pick five at Santa Anita, and I hit it. I didn't have one quarter left, either in a cash or voucher. If I didn't hit the pick five at Santa Anita, I couldn't have played the Churchill pick six. So when I was handicapping it, I was like, man, I got to put together a ticket to where if I hit one of my pick five horses I have at Santa Anita closing, I can play it. So the two beat the eight, which was like I had it twice. I think I got back like 15,000 or something like that. But there was only 3 or 4 minutes to post on the Churchill. I'm constructing the ticket, my saver ticket, at the betting machine. So it just honestly and truly for me, it depends on what kind of money I have available. I know it sounds crazy. People are thinking, oh, Lucha's got unlimited funds, whatever. Man, I'm firing. If I got it, it's going in. And some days I'm broke and some days I'm on money. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
I love it. Well, going to the nightcap, and I'm going back to look at the ticket. How many were you live to?
349, three horses. It should have been 234. And I think the three was paying 11,000. The four was obviously a single ticket, and the nine was 5,500. The two was 29,000 because I was kicking myself. I'm like, oh man, if I just gave up 29,000, I'm aggravated, you know. But I did find something a little different on the rule too, as far as I know. When you and I spoke this morning, I called the two sharpest guys I know when it comes to this kind of stuff, which was Ed DeRosa and Nick Camaro. And Ed gave me the lowdown, the skinny on it. So it is 300-1 as far as a W2G, but it's 500-1 for the withholding. So even though I have
right.
to hit a W2G, there will be no withholding. I didn't know that.
Right.
So nope. That is the that's how that's going to shake out. So,
and
I got plenty of losses to offset that tax. Trust me.
Well, exactly. Plenty. And for you, it's actually fine. I mean, it's not a for the people that
right.
hit like this occasionally.
Right.
It's
all I got to do is like when I file my taxes yearly, is the Express Bet losses take care of whatever the winnings are. Believe me.
There you go.
And that's easily because they print it out for you, and I get to see that ugly thing every year. So people just think that I'm that good at it. No, I love the game. I play. I fire. You know, for me, these kind of bets in Belmont Day and Derby Day and Churchill Day, they're really the only days I can really take a good stand because I can't be in the pools of Penn National or Prairie Meadows or Canterbury. How am I going to get it back? There's not enough money in the pool. So I don't play those kind of tickets at every track. I play them where the pools that I can bet into. And that's just any, decent money management from anybody that wages on a higher level. Because I'm just betting against myself if I don't.
Fold in also the $50,000 pick five from last week.
Yeah, I had a really good day that day. I not only hit the pick five, I hit something else. I won $50,000 one day and $125 the next, and I put both the tickets on there. But if that's the sequence I'm thinking of, I loved the Chad Philly. I loved her. And I basically pressed her. I didn't single her because I don't like, if you own as many horses as I do, you know that there's no such thing as a single in any race. I mean, I don't care how good you are. I've run 21-9s and lost with them. So I generally don't single horses too often, but with her, I think it was Lewis Bay. Is that the one that Chad won, the six off
yes.
the screen?
The sprinter, yes,
yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah, she was my key. I put every ticket I had and press tickets around her, And I don't really remember that much of the sequence because, like you said, I'm betting 8 or 9 tracks at once. I do remember that I loved her, and she was my play of the weekend. And so, I mean, I bet she probably would have been 6-1 if I didn't bet her to win. I mean, I am loaded on that filly. You know, Chad coming home, she had kind of a tough. Before, American Gal's workout report, and that's one thing you can't say enough about these guys, that work. Her workout reports were terrible. And so when I looked at those works, and I'm like, man, all three guys I looked at had her, you know, C+, C+. To me, the Chad filly going back to, you know, back to her home track, and Chad, you know, she just looked like a standout to me, and she went about as easy as you could win. So that's what took place in that. I think there wasn't there a bomb that hung on in the last leg?
Yes. And it cost me, it cost me the pick five, and not that it was paying that, had either of those. Well, it was, and it was. And the two Bill Mott horses, Red Knight and Gauguin, they were the two horses, obviously, to use. And Bird's Eye View of Mike Denny's hung on and won that photo. But you had him covered, and as a result, 53,000 for that pick five.
Yeah, I had the horse to run second a lot of times in the pick four and more times in the pick five. So it wasn't that much of a difference in overall cash flow for me. It might have been 10 or 15 thousand. So it's not like one of those where I just had the winner and I'm like, oh my God, did I win? You know, I was relatively secure with what I was getting back for my investment in that race. So it's so funny. I'm such a sick guy. Sometimes I root for the lesser horse just because I want more people to win. You know, it's like. Yeah. I really do. I'm like, oh man, you know, my buddy had the five on like three tickets. I think it came 6-5. And here I am, got the six, and I'm not even rooting for myself because I want him to win, you know, and he's sitting right next to me and going, oh man, you know, of course I helped him out a little bit or whatever, but, you know, I would have rather seen him win. But that's just the way the game is. It's tough sometimes.
It's tough every time. You also, I saw that, I think, what, you've got 3 or 4 purchases already the first 2 days of the sale?
Yeah, you know, I didn't go hog wild. I bid on the one that Carlos got, Vacareza, Carlo got. I had a few guys of us that went in, and I think he paid $650. I mean, we stopped at like $450. We weren't even in the same ballpark, but that was the one that everybody was talking about that everybody wanted. And I just did my usual spattering of my Ohio breads, and I bought one flatter filly that I really liked, and that was it. I didn't really do a whole lot. I've got some nice 2-year-olds. I got a really nice order filly that I bought at Phase of Tipton that I think and we think the world of. So I don't know if she's going to make Saratoga, but if she does, her name is Pagalo in Avanti, which means pay it forward, which is kind of my motto in life.
Oh, nice. That's very cool.
Yeah, and she's something special. She's the most advanced 2-year-old I've ever seen that's come through any of my, you know, my hands and stuff. So she's one to keep an eye on.
Well, and you also mentioned the Ohio breds. Can the Man is going to be a secret success and is going to come in under the radar. And that colt comes from a nice family and goes back, in fact, to 30 Zip. And there's some intrigue to that colt. It came
yeah,
with
I
the
was
name.
Shocked. What,
that was a nice buy.
He only went for 25.
That was a great buy.
Shocked.
Yep.
Good yeah. job. You know, it's funny. Sometimes those are the kind. Like the last OBS that I bought a violence colt, who I named the Sakari, because you got to come up with a bad name when they're out of violence. I mean, the Sakari is an assassin organization. Well known throughout the world, and so I called him the Sakari just because I couldn't think of another name. But I paid $27,000 for this violence colt. He is working like I paid $2.7 million for him. I mean, I'm working him against a horse I paid $250,000 for, and he's just blowing his doors off. And you know, you know, I keep telling my trainer, I'm like, what are you doing? Why can't the $250,000 one go better? He goes, Ronnie, that's just a just a nice. So you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know. So keep an eye out for him. I was going to try to steal one with him, but I guess I just let the cat out of the bag, so there won't be any maiden 30s or 40s at Saratoga for that one. Because I probably could have got away with it until I just opened my big mouth.
Well, thinking about the win for, was it Floats Like Ali?
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
like, right? That was a
yeah,
good
moves
one.
Moves Like Ali.
Moves Like Ali. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a Jeremiah horse that, you know, unfortunately, like so happens in this business. Steve, I had 11 surgeries in the last 30 days with my horses. And, believe me, hitting this ticket couldn't have come at a better time for a guy with 125 horses and 30 of them on the shelf.
Out of control.
It's a tough game. But I'll tell you who worked really good today. And I'm looking for big things from this horse's game over. I gave him some time. I gave him to one of my local trainers, Gary Johnson. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but, I mean, this horse just, he was a freight train this morning, 46-2, never asked in company, and he's going to run on the undercard in the Ohio Derby, as is imperative. I got him to throw up a couple races, and we're going to have some fun with the undercard, so kind of good for the state and the smaller track to get those kind of horses to run.
No doubt, and of course, you've also if we're going to mention Ohio Breds, Mo doesn't know, right?
Yeah,
he's had amazing, just amazing success.
He got sick on me. He ran sick the other day. It's the first time in, I think, 19 starts. He wasn't first or second. He came out of the race. His counts were elevated. He just, you know, when a horse like that doesn't bring his at least B game, which is good enough to beat most of them, there's something wrong, and, we fell right away, and thank goodness. I'm going to take him out of state for the first time and run him to Prairie Meadows in a sprint in their $100,000 stake in July.
Nice.
He's never been out of Ohio, but he's beaten, the likes of Austin Banner, and, I mean, beating some good horses. Everyone that's Nick the Fix, they brought him in from all over, and he's beaten them, including Cautious Giant, who I had at one time, so might get some value on him. So
we got to go, but where's Furiously Kissed running, in Delaware or Churchill?
Oh, Churchill. I love the spot at Churchill.
All right.
There's some speed in there. She's gonna do all right, so she'll be at Churchill.
Well, Ronnie, this week, Presque Isle, Thistledown, Mountaineer, Churchill, Delaware, potentially, or on occasion.
Gulfstream.
All over. As always, Ron, congratulations. Well done. Prairie Meadows.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
So great. You too. Ron Paolucci, everybody. Luch on Twitter at Luch Racing, 3 O's, and gung-ho. Unbelievable. I love it. Back after this, Nick Tamro.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees, or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a two-year-old calibrated colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.